where I want to be. There'll be no tears to feel their eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. I want you to sing it. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears, feel their eyes again.
His will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory. The saints of God will be.
Sing it like you believe it, church.
Like
the sounds of home tonight.
To me. Somewhere just across the Jordan.
Oh, yes, Lord.
There's a place of everlasting joy. Tree of life, oh, it is blooming there forever. And a crown of life is waiting there.
Oh, Lord, you're looking forward to getting that.
And that sounds like home to me, like where I want.
Story as we sing of His grace and glory,
where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Oh, no more pain, no disappointments ever come there. And Jesus Christ, my God, will be alive.
And that sounds like
love story as we sing of His grace and glory,
where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace.
Saints of God will be. That sounds like my home to me.
Like home to me.
Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord tonight?
You know, if we think about getting there and what all is going to be taking place, we don't even have an idea what it's going to be like. But you know, to think about this, how you just love to run and hug Paul's neck. How you'd love to run and hug David's neck. How you'd like to see John the Baptist hug his neck. That's just half the story. They're going to be looking for you because they're dying to hug your neck. You are the people that finish this thing up. You're the people that come through Satan's Eden with victory in Jesus. Are you glad about it tonight? Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Somewhere. Thank you one more time.
Somewhere just across the Jordan.
Oh, say it like you believe it, church.
There's a place of everlasting joy. The tree of life is blooming there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there.
Oh, sing it to him now, children. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears. God will be. That sounds like home to me. Oh, give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Now why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord and tell them this. God bless you, you gallant soldier of the cross. Praise the Lord. Place the Lord before your saints. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears, dim our eyes again.
Here's we'll echo with the story as we sing of his grace.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes. I want to read some prayer requests to you tonight. This comes from Laura Plotsky. I hope I got the name right. The subject is Thanks a Million. And she wants to tell you people out here and you people on the platform. This is her testimony. I want to express my gratitude for your magnificent musicians and very gifted and talented singers. I think I have all of your albums and treasure each one of them. Such a blessing to me. It's such a blessing to have your wonderful music playing in my car and home. I so appreciate all the efforts that each one puts forth toward this worthy cause. Just finished archiving my third service with Happy Valley today. What a glorious day. Wonderful glory. May God bless each one of you richly and abundantly. Sister Lori Plotsky. That's quite a testament to you folks. That's quite a testament to you guys up here. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're a blessing to somebody? Well, I hope these services are a blessing to her, and not only her, but all those that are streaming. May these services just reach out and capture their hearts and give them joy and peace and comfort in the Lord. Brother Randy Walton wants us to remember his daughter, Natasha Walton, mental situations that he's asking the Lord to just to help her in her mental state, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Reese went to give blood today, had some problems, but the Lord worked it out and he was able to donate blood, and he wants to thank the Lord for that. So we praise God for that testimony tonight. This came from, I don't know where it came from. Yes, I do too. Sister Angie, we have... I would like to request prayer for my daughter, Camelia Marino. She is 5, and since February, we have taken her to the hospital 3 times. The doctors say that she has the croup, which is a virus that affects the trachea. It causes it to swell, and then there is trouble breathing. Please help us to pray that this will no longer be a problem to her and not happen again. Also, I've been getting stomach pains going on for 2 years this past April. I had a HIDA scan done on my gallbladder to see if that was the problem. So she's asking us that we would pray for her sister Angie. The Lord knows all about that. Those needs, we'll just commit that unto the Lord. God's able to help our sister, isn't he? Amen. This came over to the library. Brother Frank Williams wanted to thank everyone for praying for his granddaughter, Amber. The doctors were convinced that she had meningitis. Based on her symptoms, tests that were performed, they all came back negative. God answers prayer. He wants to praise the Lord for that. Please remember Brother Frank in prayer. Also, he had eye surgery today for glaucoma and cataracts. So we just pray for Brother Frank and Sister Jackie that the Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Ruth Louise Jacks called to request prayer for the upcoming move from Georgia to South Carolina. After much prayer, counseling, and complete trust in God, an opportunity to move closer to a message church has been made available. Please help her pray that the Lord would lead her concerning a new place to live and a new place of employment. So we want to remember that request tonight. We want to pray for Sister Judy Davis, who has a pulled muscle in her back in a lot of pain. So we want to remember Sister Judy tonight. Sister Martha Ann Johnson offers this testimony of praise. Little Paisley Grace, my great niece, who is 5 months old, came through the surgery very well. Thank you for your prayers. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. We just praise the Lord for all these testimonies. We're serving a prayer answering God. Do you believe that tonight? How many of you have an unspoken request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Could we stand tonight? Brother Rob, I want you to come tonight, if you will. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. We love Brother Rob Weber, don't we? God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you once again to the thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, with prayer requests on the minds of the people. We're thankful to be able to come to a living Christ. Lord, we're thankful that you are here and that we recognize your presence. We recognize your presence already in this building, Lord. We come to you boldly with faith, believing that you are more than able to cover everything that we have need of. Lord, we're so small in ourselves, but we're so large, Lord, in the love that you share with us, and we long to be worthy of the gospel that you've called us to. I pray for these prayer requests. I pray that we be faithful. I pray that we can join our faith with our brothers and sisters, that your true will can be manifested in these needs. I pray, Lord God, for the service. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come. It is the best part of our day, and as days go by and hard things go by, it really makes us cry more and more to go home. So many years that the children of Israel wanted to go home after 400 years, and I know how they're feeling or how they felt as we go longer and longer in these days, and the Satan's Eden is so wicked and evil. Lord, day by day, there's more of a cry of your people to come home. And we thank you, Lord, for the grace of God until while we're here, Lord, we want to go ahead and be everything you want us to be. Help us to be that in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come. This time we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. Brother Wes Willis wants all of you to pay attention. All the young, all the youth and the young adults. All the youth and the young adults. There'll be a bonfire this Friday from 7 to 11 for young adults and the youth. That will be taking place at the pavilion. So you're invited to be there. And I'm sure there'll be something for you to snack on or something going on. I'm sure Brother West and them will take care of you. But all of you remember that. If you can go, it'll be a good time that you can enjoy, I'm sure. Let's sing a song tonight. He's the lifter of our heads. Brother Rob said in his prayer, there's hard times, there's hard days. And I can view this way. Your cup's either half empty or it's half full. I choose it to be half full. And I choose it to get fuller. Because God's grace is going to take care of us. I don't know how. I don't know how he's going to do all of it. But I'm not worried about it. He's got it in his hands. Why should you worry about how he's going to get you out of here? He's going to do it. He done told you he'd do it. He's going to do it. Do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say it's the truth. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter. The lifter of my head one more time. Yes, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
And if there be increased that trouble me, here in Laodicea, many are the demon spirits against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I laid me down, I slept. When I awakened,
hallelujah,
it was the precious, precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me.
Oh, yes.
For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory, you're the lifter. Evil spirit may rise up against me, but I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. For I know thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. I will not be afraid ten thousands of demons.
Thank you, Lord.
Every evil spirit may rise up against me.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
I will not be afraid of ten thousands of demons.
Hallelujah.
That encamp themselves against me round about.
For my Lord,
I know.
Some praise tonight. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the Lord. God bless you. You're singing so good tonight. Makes it so much easier when all of you just join in and let's worship the Lord together. I believe he takes great joy in you praising his name. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Joel Brown, I want you to come on the platform. Brother Ryan Kennedy's going to sing for us tonight. Brother Joel has a song after him of your choosing. God bless you. We love this guy right here, don't we? Amen.
I've walked among the shadows, you wiped my tears away. And I've felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days. Though I prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held your blessings, God, you give and take away. But no matter what I have, your grace is enough. And no matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. 'Cause on the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, you know I am not alone. You're the God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. God of the hills and valleys, no, I am not alone. I've watched my dreams get broken, but in you I hope again. And no matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hands. 'Cause on the mountains I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, you know I am not alone. You're the God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys. valleys, God of the hills and valleys. No, I am not alone. Father, you give and you take away every joy and every pain, but through it all remain, over it all. It's on the mountains I will bow my life, and in the valleys I will lift my eyes. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, you know I am not alone. You're the God of the hills and valleys. Hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys. No, I am not alone. No, I am not alone. No, I am not alone. No, I am not alone.
Isn't that good to know we're not alone? He's with us in the hills and the valleys. Praise God. And we have to remember too, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then the Bible goes on to talk about there being a table. That table comes after the valley. Amen. Maybe you've been through a valley today. The table is going to be spread tonight. Just feast on him and let that light of the word break forth around the darkness that may be in your life tonight. Amen. I love you in the Lord. God bless you. I just want to say this too. Today, the happy anniversary to my wife. Today is our anniversary, and 14 years ago, I made a promise and a vow to the beautiful, most beautiful, the queen of all queens, amen, to walk through this life together, and we'll step into eternity once again together, amen. I love this word, I love this truth, and some years back, the Lord gave me this song, you all know it, and I hope I don't get it mixed up, I do it all the time, but brothers and sisters, has the word caught your attention? Has the Spirit made a change within? Have you prayed for revelation? Have you sought the Lord this day for the voice to rapture you away? We'll sail beyond the heavens, be changed from here to there. We'll reach true perfection, but wait, there's still more. They are the highest, these mysteries deep and great. No one could ever take my joy away. I have stepped into the vision, there's a way I'm certain of. It's the all-time spoken word prophecy of Malachi 4. Here in this evening time, listen, God promised that his light would shine to illuminate the path and make the way. But
those carnal ones only deified. This one who was prophesied to turn back the heart to the original way. Oh, but I can only jump and shout because my soul is sure it can only be this great mystery of Malachi. These heights, they are the highest. These mysteries deep and great, no one could ever take my joy away. I have stepped into the vision. There's a way I'm certain. Oh, it's the end time revelation, spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4. Listen to that second verse again. Oh, here in this evening time, God promised that his light would shine to illuminate my path and make the way clear. But those carnal ones only deified this one who was prophesied to turn back my heart to the original way. Oh, but I can only jump and shout because my heart is stirred. It can only be this great mystery of Malachi. Oh, these heights, they are the highest. These mysteries, the hallelujah. Oh, no one could ever, ever, ever take my joy away. I've stepped into the vision. This way I'm certain. Oh, it's the end time revelation. It's the end time revelation. Spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4. It's the end time revelation. Spoken word, prophecy of Malachi 4. The Lord.
Aren't you glad you're in this end time revelation? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to the book of the first book of Acts. Chapter 28, verse 22. This one's written by Luke, inspired by the Holy Ghost. This one's written by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And our lives. And we are the continuation of it. Amen. Certainly nice to be back home again. Yes, sir. I heard you had some wonderful services, Brother David. Amen. Meetings went really well over Brother Tim Humes. The brothers did a really good job. Brother Darrell did just an outstanding job. Y'all have been really, really proud of him. Brothers had some really good things to say. Really good time of fellowship. Amen. Acts chapter 28, verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. It'll always be that way. But does their unbelief stop the program of God? No. Will it stop the elect? No. Let me tell you who unbelief hinders. The unbeliever. So what if some don't believe? The believer goes right on without them. Does it hurt them? Certainly. Can it be effective as far as them feeling the pain for them and hating when believers turn to that way? Certainly it does. But does it stop a real believer? Of course not. Why? Because why do they believe? Because they're a believer. Why does an unbeliever disbelieve? Because they're an unbeliever. People look at Matthew 25 and look at the foolish virgins and the wise and try to go down through there and categorize it and break it all down. Well, the wise is wise because of this and the foolish. If you'll see the way Jesus set that parable, he put forth their character first before he described their actions. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. They were wise and foolish before it ever described what they ever done. If you're a believer tonight, you're a believer because of God's grace. Amen. And a believer is the faith of God in you that allows you to believe. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together over the word, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for your precious, precious Holy Ghost that lives in our hearts tonight. Dear Jesus, we so appreciate your mercy that has been extended to us in so many ways. Father, we're asking tonight as we look into your word, may the Spirit of God come and anoint us. May you speak to our hearts. We're such a needy people tonight, Lord. And I know we say it often, but Father, we're not saying it in the form of defeat, but we want to make our needs and our requests known. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us when we come together to make our requests known. And then your prophet tells us to ask for much and to actually ask for big things. There is no way we can ever bankrupt you. We're not asking out of vanity and pride and foolishness, but we bring our many needs, our petitions before our Father who wants to answer them all according to his great divine providence. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. May the Spirit of God anoint me and help me get out of the way. Anoint the people, Father. Lord Jesus, you see this prayer call tonight. Father God, the need that's represented here. I pray that you'd move, Lord, on his behalf in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now people think in their mind, well, you know, it's just because of the way that the word is presented. A lot of it is the preacher's fault, they would say. If the preachers would present it in a more understandable way, that no doubt there would be many, many, many other people that would grasp the truth. So if the preachers had a better education and they was better trained and better taught, then they themselves would be able to convey it in such a way that it would be more plausible. It would be more understandable. No. Wrong. Well, if people would just be able to hear it long enough, then in time they would be able to absorb it and they would drive away all their fear. And no. There's been folks that's left this message that's been around it for 30 years. You know why? They never believed it in the first place. That's right. If you ever get it by revelation, there ain't enough facts and figures and devils and websites to pull it out of your soul. That's right. But now, faith is a gift of God that gives you the ability to be able to hear. Now remember, Paul is preaching to them the kingdom of God. But it is not just about a king and subjects and boundaries and where they can go and where they cannot go, but it is about a kingdom nature. It's much easier to comprehend kingdom boundaries, even to understand an element of the king himself, what the king wishes for you to be, what the king forbids you to be like. It's much easier to understand that because legalists can be able to grasp that than it is to get the kingdom nature. And God has so set it up that the only ones that will really be able to understand the kingdom of God are those that are born of the king's nature. So being able to read the bylaws of the kingdom does not make you a citizen. Being able to sit down and read the Constitution of America, to know the Bill of Rights, probably most of us here tonight could not even sit down and list the Bill of Rights. We would not even know the amendments to the Constitution. Most of you as American citizens probably have no clue what you have as rights as an American citizen. Yet someone that would be coming out from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Canada, someplace else, they trained them. They said, and they want to know this and that and the other, and they would know more about it than some of us that would be actually born an American. So do we have to understand all the wherefores and the whys to be an American citizen? Then I'm afraid most of us is going to be shipped to Mexico by tomorrow. Because most of us probably don't understand hardly anything about our rights as far as the legal rights are concerned. But let some lawyer or some fast talker try to talk us out, and what are we going to whip out? Our birth certificate. And we're going to say, I am a native, I am an American born citizen. I can't tell you my rights, I can't go to the Constitution, but here is my birth certificate. Now there might be somebody else that knows more of the wherefores and the whys, but they have to go through a process because they are not naturally born. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. There will be many housewives, many simple people that could not explain predestination, and without leaving a loophole here and a loophole there, they could not explain election, they could not explain the mystery of the cloud in 1963, but you know what they hold in their hand? A birth certificate. They've got the token applied to their soul. Now, there might be those who oppose it. They may have all kinds of facts and all kinds of dates of this and that and the other, and a real believer ain't even interested in their supposed facts in the first place. Praise the Lord. Because faith declares things that facts cannot touch. That's exactly right. Now, notice this, there was some that believed and some that did not believe. And because of this, it caused a rift among those which had come together to hear Paul. Which, of course, it's always that way. Now, I realize that the kingdom of God is come to bring a sword. But here is the answer of why some believed and some did not. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had a GED or a college education or graduated from high school or went to the seminary, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Then we look on the other hand of that, as many as were not ordained to eternal life cannot believe. Why? On the simple fact that they are not ordained to eternal life. Oh my. Do you understand how blessed you are tonight to be able to believe the word of God? Oh, you say, oh, if I only knew I was elected. Oh, if I only had that hope of predestination. If you believe the truth of this hour, the scripture of the word of God by revelation from God, that's one of the best signs you can have that you're a bride. That you're ordained, you're foreknown, you're predestinated, and you're elected. Amen. Now, some believed, and when they believe, they are converted. Others will argue and debate and fuss, and well, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I can't explain this. And we know that multitudes of Christians are the same way today. And we know the prophet had given us a way to go about doing it. When we go to try to talk to people and witness to them, if we give them a little bit of light and they cannot handle it, there's no need exploding the whole kingdom of God on them. If you give them a little bit of light and they refuse it, spare your voice, save your time. Don't throw your pearls to hogs. Keep your pearls in your pockets. See if you can find a pearl merchant who's wanting to buy a good pearl. You can waste a lot of your time, and I'm afraid, friends, that we've took the denominational thing, and every time I say this, we always get emails, and they bombard poor Brother Jim in the library. We're trying to convert a lot of people and bring them to this message that's not ordained of God. Some of these people would have been much better off if they'd stayed Baptist or Methodist or Church of God, instead of coming into the message, been around the message for 30 years, and then been able to realize they actually don't believe in the first place. Now they'll be damned at the day of judgment, because they've been exposed to the supernatural. They've been exposed to the word. Not only that, they've been exposed to Christian lives that are lived by godly people, which none of this out here can touch. This cannon fodder cannot produce a life which can be produced by the message of this hour. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about a kingdom nature inside of born again people's lives. That's right. And then we try to bring them and add numbers. But what did they do? As many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Notice now, Luke says, and some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. What were these that did not believe? They were not Christ's sheep. It's just that plain and simple. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Brother Don, don't you believe we were lost? I do. I believe we were lost. Lost like the prodigal son, lost like the sheep, lost like the coin. But the coin already had the minted image of the king on the coin before the bride ever had it. As a matter of fact, it was already previously stamped out and marked with the likeness of the king before the bride ever had it in her wedding tabard on top. The sheep was already the shepherd's before it was ever lost. The prodigal son was always a son, but amen. People try to take the prodigal son and preach a message of salvation to the world. You are twisting the words of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son is a perfect type of the predestinated seed that come to this world, and they were out of the fellowship of God, born in a hog lot of sin. But while they were there, they come to a place they realized and heard their father calling. Amen. And they had to go back to their father's house. Amen. Notice this in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Notice now, he doesn't say Brother Terry's faith, or Brother Darrell's faith, or my faith, or even your faith. He calls this move the faith of God. Well, I believe and I believe, well, that's all well and good. But if you don't have Christ's faith, somewhere along the way, you'll stumble. I'm not saved tonight because I believe God. I'm saved because God in me believes God. Paul said, the life that I live, I no longer live it by myself. I live it by the faith of the Son of God. So what if some don't believe? Does that make the faith of God in your soul stop and say, oh no, it ain't got no longer effect? Absolutely not. You go right on. Why? Because it's God in you believing his own word. Right. God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now watch this. I love this. Brother M says in proving his word, unbelief doesn't stop God. It doesn't hinder him. I don't care how much the world unbelieves, it's still going to happen. People don't even believe there is a God, right? Many of the Christians don't believe the Lord's even coming. Would it stop it? Absolutely not. They don't believe in a rapture. Would it stop it? Nope. They don't believe you need the message for the rapture. Would it stop it? Nope. They don't believe I'm going. Would it stop me? Nope. They don't believe you're going. Would it stop you? Nope.
Unbelief doesn't do nothing but condemns the unbeliever. The unbelief will send the unbeliever to hell. It'll rob him of every blessing God promised to him, but it doesn't hinder God from going right on. Notice now, it doesn't hinder God from going right on with what? The believer. So unbelief, people, oh, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. Well, that's if that's what you want to do, it's up to you. But it's not going to hinder God, and it's not going to hinder me. And it ain't going to hinder God from going on with me. People don't believe in divine healing? Perfectly fine. If they want to die, that's up to them. But it ain't going to hinder God from healing me when I get sick, because I'm a believer. Amen. Notice he says it doesn't hinder God from going right on with the believer. See, unbelief doesn't stop God. It only stops the unbeliever. You say, the sun ain't going to shine tomorrow. I'm going to stop it. You try it, see? All right. You can't do it. God has set it in order and said it would shine, and it's going to shine, and that's all. He said it would. There might be some clouds under it, but it's still shining just the same. You can't stop God with that. May I say, friend, it makes no difference how much opposition we get. It doesn't stop God. Paul got the opposition everywhere the man went. The Lord Jesus got it. He was persecuted from the day he was born to the day he died. It never stopped him. It never even slowed him down. He had unbelievers right in his preacher's group. He had unbelievers all around him everywhere. Didn't even slow him down. Didn't stop him. He went right on. It hindered the apostles until they got born again. It hindered all kinds of church people until they got born again. But once you get born of the faith kingdom of the King himself living inside of you, you've got the same faith he's got. Oh, does it hurt you? Do you cry for people? Do you want them to be saved? Most definitely, because he does. But it will not hinder God and you, because after all, you and God are the majority. Now, myself, I'm going on with Jesus. What about you? I'm going on. I plan on being on fire in the last days. I don't plan on getting cold. I'm not a Laodicean. I'm not lukewarm. I plan on staying in a revival filled with the Holy Ghost. I plan on having a walk with God until y'all bury me or till my body is changed. Now, if y'all want to go with me, that's entirely up to you. I'm going with you or without you. You are not stopping me and God, because me and God has done decided we can walk this way. We can have this kind of walk. We can have this kind of talk. I don't need y'all to vote on it. I don't need America to pass some resolution. God's done said I can have it. I said I want it, so it's settled. Amen. Anybody else want it with me? Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. All men have not faith. Now notice there's two different kinds of soils by which this seed fell into. Two different kinds of soils that it fell into. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. Now notice Jesus says this several years prior to this. This is around 60 AD, whatever Luke is writing this now in the city of Rome. Jesus says this around 32, 33 AD. Almost 30 years prior to this, Jesus said exactly what it would be for Paul, Peter, James, Bartholomew as they went out to preach. Notice he tells them, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now he received seed, but he didn't have no seed. You see, it ain't good enough just to be able to receive seed. You've got to have seed to unite with the seed. If you don't, it don't do no good. The evil one can take the seed out of your heart, but he can't get that predestinated seed. Amen. But he can sure snatch the word seed. Notice in verse 20, but he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. So here they hear the word. Oh my, this is so wonderful. This is so good. My, I ain't never heard nothing like this in my life. This is absolutely wonderful. But after a while, tribulation comes and persecution arises because of the word, and because my tribulation brings all of that. And he hath not root in himself. Now, I notice? So it comes back to not just what he heard when he heard the word of the kingdom, but he didn't have something in himself. The root was not in him before the seed of the gospel ever struck him. So he hears the word of the kingdom and he don't have the ability to retain it within himself. Why? There's no root. There's no root within himself to be identified with the seed gospel that he's hearing. Oh my. He hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground. Notice the difference now, not a different type of seed. So Jesus is not sowing just this seed for this bunch and this seed for that bunch, but the seed is the word. But what makes all the difference? The ground. The ground. He that received the seed into the good ground. And yet there is none good, no, not one. What is the good ground? The good deposit from a good God who has a good plan for a good predestinated elect. So how in the world could we ever be good ground before we was ever even born again? The goodness is attributed to the attribute that's in your soul. And when the seed of God lands on that part, God, God identifies it as his and says, that's good ground. Well, my goodness, same kind of carnal ears, carnal attitude, bad habits, cussing, drinking, wine, whatever more. Where's the good ground at? Your head, your heart, your intellect, your soul. Your soul. So the seed goes into the good ground, and when it does, oh my, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And they both sat under the same preacher with the same slang, with the same synonyms, and you know, maybe don't understand good English, and one will sit there and pick the whole sermon. I don't understand why he has to preach that way. Why don't he do this, and why don't he do that? And that other one was sitting there with that root in himself, and the good granny said, man, I ain't worried about the synonyms and the homonyms and all the rest of that sort of thing. Forget all them verbs and adverbs and adjectives. I'm hearing God talk to me. I'm hearing the Spirit of God beckon me to yield myself to him. That's me he's talking to about being born again. That's me he's talking to about being an overcoming Christian. That's me he's talking to. I understand what the man's saying. I hear it and I understand. Oh my, praise God. That's me. What is it? Good ground. Good ground. He that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word being preached, oh my, that was so wonderful, that was so wonderful. But it's got to be mixed, and you've got the mixer on the inside of you. And it's got to be mixed with what? Faith in the word, not your faith. Oh my, not your faith. Well, my mama said, my grandpa, my daddy, it's not your faith. It's the word of God being mixed with his faith, and it makes a batter of election all cooked up with foreknowledge and predestination molded inside that good ground. And what's it produce? It produces the fulfilled scripture of this hour. Oh my, ain't we supposed to be the church in Johnson City that don't believe the Bible? Wow. Wonder where all these scriptures are coming from. Now remember, Paul had dealt with this before in Romans, or Acts rather, chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. That's generally who causes all church problems anyway. Unbelievers stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Can't you see, friends? Satan found this. This is his principle from the Garden of Eden. What did he do? He stirred up Eve's mind. and evilly affected her. This is the same principle, Brother David, that's being applied thousands of years later. Don't you understand why Satan's trying to do the same thing around the message of the hour? To affect people's minds in an evil way? To tear their mind up? Oh my, well I can't answer this and I can't answer that. Yeah, that's exactly the way Eve was. Eve could not answer all the devil's questions, so it raised a bigger question in her mind. She should have stood right there in the Word and said, I don't know, I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but all I know is God said it. If she'd done that, we wouldn't be where we are today. But Satan found that principle into the first human being upon the earth that he was able to tempt. He's found humans are vulnerable to this. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. All it takes is one long-tongued liar. It's amazing how many Christians listen to long-tongued liars. Well, y'all got quiet on me, man. Notice this, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Oh my goodness. Well, here God is confirming his word with signs following. I find it so amazing that people think that Brother Branham was the greatest liar and the greatest false prophet that ever lived on the earth. And yet God did greater signs to that supposed liar than he ever has done in any man. I think you ought to take a lawsuit against God. I think you ought to sue God. Don't sue Brother Branham. Don't sue me. Don't slander me. You ought to slander God. And say that God is unfair by opening the eyes of the blind through a hypocrite. Huh. Not only opening the eyes of the blind, but for some of those that didn't even have eyes. Eyes were created, but before they were created, he stopped and asked them what color they wanted. That is so unfair of God. That is so unfair of God to raise the dead. When a sister died in the meeting, and oh my, whenever they prayed for her, and there she was, and yet the prophet God gave her, amen, gave him her name, and he said, Mary, and she raised from the dead and said, yes, Brother Branham. That was so unfair of God to do such. And of course, I'm still waiting now for God to do that with all these people that sent to correct us. Amen. I'm waiting for God to work through them since they have the truth. And now they are so free and so liberated and so close to God. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 17 verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must have needs suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of devout Greeks, a great multitude, and chief women, not a few, but the Jews, which... So what do we have? Believers, unbelievers. Now what you notice, it's never the believers going around. It's never the believers going around and what we're fixing to read. It's always the unbelievers. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Believers never use such tactics. Believers never start lies and gossip and fabricate. It's always the baser sort. Well, hallelujah. Y'all going to preach to me? You're going to look at me. Amen. But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, which lets you know right now we're not talking about Holy Ghost filled saints of God, because saints of God don't move in the realm of envy. Oh, that's right. Now, you're not exempt from it, of course, but this is not the channel by which you live in and you are motivated. Children of God do not live in the realm of gossip. Holy Ghost-filled sisters cannot live in the realm of gossip. Holy Ghost-filled brothers cannot live in the realm of gossip and degradation and spreading lies on people. You just can't do it. If there's something in your nature that wants to destroy others, you're anointed of hell, not of heaven. If there's something in you that promotes lies and promotes things that isn't the truth, it's not the Holy Ghost on you, it's the devil. Right? The Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. Yeah, sounds like unbelievers. And assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now look at the way unbelievers move. They have a gathering of people, but look what kind it is. Those that can't live right, those that cannot really line up with the truth of the gospel. It is a gathering of the baser sort. Don't you see, friend? It's always been that same way. Now them people that moved upon in this setting in Iconium, them people have been dead for thousands of years. But the demon that was on them people is still alive today. And it still does the exact same thing. So it gathers people of a baser sort. It gathers people who's not going to believe, and they come against the real people of God. Oh my, chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. Now notice, these people, they're there and they hear it, but they become more hardened and more hardened. And what do? Then they begin to speak evil of this way that Paul is talking about, but they do it in front of the people. Why? They're wanting to evilly affect the minds of the people and say, this man's crazy. This man's off the word. He ain't saying what Moses said. Well, truly, Paul was saying everything that Moses said plus. Moses could stand and say, behold, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Paul could preach that same thing, but Paul could go on to say, this has been fulfilled. Moses couldn't say it because it had not been fulfilled. He could preach what Isaiah preached. He could preach what Jeremiah preached. He could preach what Zechariah preached, but he could preach it in the present light of the day I was living in when it was fulfilled. We do the same thing. We preach justification. We preach sanctification. We preach holiness of the Bible. But why are we so strange and odd? Because we preach it not from a historical perspective, but we preach it from a present day light. Why? Light is our inheritance. My, look at this. Again, Acts chapter 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves. Now this is after you got the believers and them believers. They departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Now either you got people that's already boiling over, or you talking about a powerful word if it's just one word. Or a mixture of both. Now, the metaphor here that Luke uses is whenever he says they agreed not, it is a metaphor from musical instruments that they made no harmony. So somebody's in C, somebody's in G, somebody's in D, and somebody's in F minor, and somebody's in, you know, whatever more. So they couldn't come together. Now, what was it that caused all this division? One Holy Ghost preacher. That's all it takes. Man, he can tear up the whole country. Now, when they agreed not among themselves. Now, you imagine that they probably came to this meeting probably pretty much agreeing. Pretty much agreeing. And there's some seed in there that was agreeing with the wrong thing. But all they needed was to hear the voice of Papa Eagle through that messenger, and he turned them around, totally turned them around in that meeting, and set them at odds with their brothers, which they had loved so dearly all their life. But what was it? One time. They didn't have to come back for 47 lessons and then 27 years in this and another 13 years in that. After hearing a man of God preach one day, you talking about transforming their lives and turning them around. They went in harmony. They went in brotherhood. And they come out and they was looking at one another and said, why do you believe that? How can you believe that? Well, I don't know. I just believe it. I've never heard it preached like that before. I've never heard it said that way before. Well, I wish we'd have let you at the house. I wish we had never brought you to this meeting. You imagine them saying, God ordained you to bring me to this meeting. What are you doing using that word ordained? See, there you go. You're all caught up in all that predestination stuff. Predestination ain't stuff. Predestination is an attribute of God. Predestination is not just a doctrine. It's an attribute of my Father. Now friends, I know we don't like to look at it this way, but such division is usually the effect of the gospel truth. Preachers that ain't stirring up trouble, if I was you, I'd stay away from them. A preacher that preaches a sermon and everybody can come and the governor and the mayor and everybody else can come in the church and sit right there and he ain't making somebody mad, you better run. That old boy's going to hell. He's a compromiser. I said he's a compromiser. Notice Luke chapter 12 verse 51. The words of the Lord Jesus. Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay! But rather division. Have you noticed Jesus' words here? He didn't say he didn't come to bring peace in the heart, but peace on the earth. Now this is what they're looking for. The messianic sign is he's going to bring peace. This is his government, isn't it? Of his peace and government there shall be no end. It was in the heart. What's he going to do? He's going to divide mother and father. He'll divide father and son, daughter and mother. Is that right? Many of you know it because you've been divided by this precious word of God. And people say, oh, how can that be of God? Because Jesus said it would come this way. Well, praise the Lord. Notice whenever this goes on, after Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet. Notice, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Have they closed? Lest they should see, oh my, with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Now did God say this would come to pass? Sure, God knew it would. But notice the key in this, friends. They did it. Their eyes they have closed. Now let's read what Isaiah actually said in the Old Testament in Hebrew. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. Amen. And you mean Paul was quoting this? Sure sounds different, doesn't it? All right, now some of y'all get your magnifying glass out now. Let's put Paul to the scriptural test. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. You realize this Old Testament scripture is quoted more than any other scripture in the New Testament. This is the value of this word. And it has to do not with mercy and grace, but blindness. Blindness. No other Old Testament passage is quoted by the other writers as much as this one. Oh my. Think of it. And it's always applied to Jewish unbelief. The terrible prediction was fulfilled in the days of Isaiah. It was fulfilled again in the days of Jesus. Now it's being fulfilled again in the days of Paul. Isn't it amazing how the same scripture in different dispensational light can be fulfilled over and over and over again? Lord, children, when Brother Branham was sharing, preaching the Pentecostals and the denomination in that day, don't you understand why there had to be an indictment? Don't you understand why the indictment still has to go on today? Why? Other generations of people living on the earth. Was he preaching to the total lost and souls in prison? Yes. But many of those total lost had done died and went into the grave. So does that stop being preached? It's being preached again and again and again. And if the Lord tarries another generation or another, it will go on again and again. Laodicea will be indicted. Every generation saying the same things that's already been said before. Why? Because that generation dies out and God deals with another. That generation dies out. Oh my. But if that applies that way, what about the revival? What about the rapture? What about the resurrection? Amen. That's why we believe this message is not just to the people up to 1965 or to the late 70s or maybe to the late 80s. We believe it goes right on and leads us right into the rapture. Oh my. 18 centuries. 18 centuries of Jewish unbelief have been manifested, fulfilling this scripture over and over and over again. But here we sit tonight fulfilling some of the same scriptures that Peter, Paul, James, Irenaeus, Luther, Brother Branham, Finney, Calvin, Knox, White. Why? Because it applies not only to them, but to us as well. Why? Because we've got the kingdom nature. And the kingdom word has been allocated to us. Oh my, by the grace of God. Oh, don't you love him for that, children? Hallelujah. Can I go on a bit? Now, I want you to notice then that Paul had already dealt with this manner of unbelief. And once again, this is his pattern over and over again. To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Now, when he comes to Rome, he's going to do the same thing again. So he meets with these people. He lays out the kingdom of God. Goes to preaching about the mystery of Christ. It must have been quite a sermon. I'd love to have been there that day, wouldn't you? And heard what he had to say. But now, notice as he goes on. Now, it says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. You don't want it? Search yourself. Oh my. I want you to listen to this. And that they will hear it. Now that, do you believe that's prophecy? The word of the Lord. It happened in his day in Rome. But it's still happening. Do you understand? I just read about you. Oh, you say, I wish I could find my place in the Word. I just read about you. Glory to God, Brother Darrell. I just read about us. The Gentiles will receive it. They will believe it. And we can say, amen. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Notice this. Acts 13:43. When the congregation was broken up, and many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You understand many of these folks is doing it against the message today? If they would have lived in the days of Paul, they'd been the one doing it then. And if you'd been lived in the days of Paul, you'd been one of them Greeks. You'd been one of them Gentiles that believed. No matter where God put you, you'd always been a believer. And no matter what God allowed an unbeliever to live, they'll always be an unbeliever. Oh my. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken first to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. These people that turn down the word of God, it ain't God judging you. You have deemed yourself unworthy. Come on, saints. They have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. For so as the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. What? What? Preachers are going to be salvation? I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, could preachers save? Of course not. But they're carrying the salvation message. They are his buddies in the field. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. We just read this. And glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had free moral agency. And they were real good Armenians. And as many as were ordained to the eternal life believed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is why Paul could have this confidence in verse 28 of chapter 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. My goodness, Brother Paul, if you're looking over the banister tonight, my brother, we are still hearing it. We are still believing it. Now what's he doing? He's fixing to turn from the Jews. He gives them the opportunity. God ordained from eternity that the elect would be saved. But now God is going to deal with them. To the Jew first. Also to the Greek. And they will hear it. Paul would not devalue the work of our Lord Jesus and say, well, I don't know if there's anybody going to be saved or not. I guess the Lord must have come to the earth and died in vain. I'm so discouraged and I'm so downhearted. He would not take away from the work of our Lord, but he was confident in what God had done. May we say the same thing tonight. I am confident that God will get his people. I am confident the heaven will be full. I am confident there'll not be one extra theophany, or somebody won't get up there and not have one. There will be as many as needed and necessary. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Notice this in Acts chapter 18, verse 5. When Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified unto the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they opposed themselves. Isn't that amazing? They thought they were opposing Paul, but in reality, they were opposing themselves. When they opposed themselves, and look what they've done, and blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Amen. From Jerusalem to Rome, most of the Jews rejected it. But who received it? Heathens on Malta. Heathens along the way. This gospel was so powerful under the administration of this man that history tells us the cup bearer of Nero got converted by Paul and his concubine girlfriend. Glory to God, hallelujah. My brother, sister, let people rage, let them do whatever they're going to do. You'll never stop this gospel. Hallelujah. He was not discouraged. He kept pressing on. He followed through with his suit. Yes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. But he knew that God would not, absolutely would not let this gospel fall and the word return to him. Boy, totally impossible. If his own countrymen rejected and despised it, God would raise up the heathen. He had already seen it over and over again. Can't you see why? Even the Jewish brothers, Peter's and some of them, they didn't understand what Paul see. Because James, poor James, a good guy, but he had all this Jewish stuff about him. He just never really could understand the Gentile. And yet God had baptized Paul into the kingdom of God with this insight of seeing that it was not just to the Jews. It was not just to the natural seed of Abraham. It was to the seed of God. The seed of God are not Jew or Gentile. He recognized part of his mission was to the Gentiles. And it wasn't like he was tainted by these poor people. Oh, I got to go out here and preach to the dogs. Oh my goodness, they eat funny, they smell funny, they dress funny. Oh man, why did it fall my lot? Oh my goodness, that wasn't the way he looked at it. He looked at it as God's predestinated seed. Read the epistle, read the New Testament, show me that Paul didn't have a great understanding about predestination, all the rest of the brothers put together. He needed that, Brother Terry. He needed to look beyond natural lineage of the Jew. He needed to look beyond the natural seed of Abraham and see that in Christ, it's not the natural body of Abraham. That's why he said circumcision or uncircumcision. It availeth nothing because it's the seed of God in the heart. Notice in Romans 1:13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Romans 11:13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. He wasn't hanging his head in shame. Oh, I'm sent to these poor old people down here. My, Peter got the Jews and James got the Jews. I got these bunch of dogs and perverts down here. I've got to deal with all these weirdos and strange Gentiles and all their strange customs. But you know what he found? He found seed of God among them Gentiles. Well, praise be to God. We sat here and we're Gentile people and we think, what's such a big deal? Yeah, if you'd have lived back there 2,000 years ago and you'd have lived in this time frame, you imagine how Paul was so misunderstood by his own brethren. Even Peter said about Paul, our beloved brother Paul, he writes many things that's hard to be understood. They did not understand him, and no doubt part of it was you. Part of it was you. How could God save you heathens? Oh my, born in idolatry, born in sin, and yet place you right before the foot of the cross the same as a Jew. And God would dare give you the Holy Ghost. Yes, he would. He would dare give you eternal life. And not make you servants, but make you sons and daughters. Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Now here he places you as an offering to the Lamb. Not that an offering is given for you, but after the offering is given for you and you are accepted, then you become the offering on God's altar. Now, can you imagine a Jew reading this and said, blasphemy! That he would call them Gentile dogs and say they could be an offering on the altar of Yahweh. Praise be to God. Aren't you glad God's always had men like this? Aren't you glad God's always had men that would preach the truth to liberate his people? My, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Galatians 2:2, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Galatians 2:8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Ephesians 3:1. Again, this is the church in Johnson City that don't believe in Scripture, right? For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, what if you're a good dyed in the wool, souse down Jew? And you read all these Scriptures in that day. Gentiles, Gentiles, Gentiles. Well, that's just Paul's idea. Now remember, these writings were considered, you believe they're the Scriptures, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Why do you believe that? Why do you believe those Scriptures? Now see, you've had 2,000 years of looking back. What if you'd lived in that day 2,000 years ago and these are letters coming from an apostle, a prophet? No doubt some folks that had a problem with reading these in church. You imagine how strange it must have been whenever for years and years they stand up and read from Moses and read from the prophets. Now in the New Testament they stand up and they go to reading from Paul. And they bring visitors down to the church and say, now, you know what? They may read some quotes now of a man, but... Okay, so they might read. Yeah, I just want to let you know now. They may stand up there and they may show quotes up on the screen if they had a screen in that day. They may read quotes from this man. Well, this guy, what is he? Well, we consider him to be a prophet. We consider him to be, so is he a theologian? Where's the man at? Well, actually, currently he's in jail. He's locked away in prison and he's got a Roman soldier that he's chained to. He's got quite a resume. He was thrown in Jerusalem in jail, shipwrecked. He's been beat. He's been whipped. He's been all this sort of thing. Wow, and you follow that kind of man? Yep, because out of his mouth comes the word of God. Well, but ain't these just letters? Now, didn't he say them as letters to Thessalonica and letter to Laodicea, the letter? Yep, that's what he said. But we take them as being inspired from God himself, inspiring that prophet to say these things. Now, would you all have been all right in the first century? And if I'd have lived back there in the first century, and I'd have stood up and we'd have been in some catacomb or something here tonight, and we'd come together, and I said, well, pray church, I'm going to preach a little bit tonight. And we got this new book from Paul, and the brothers from over in Ephesus had shared it, and somebody was coming through there a few days ago on a ship, and a merchantman come through there, one of the brothers, and they was able to copy down these four or five chapters here from the book of Ephesians. And I'm so excited tonight, because this is the first time I've ever been able to read this book of Ephesians. And I've been having spells. I've just been jumping up and down because he's talking about election and predestination, all these great things. And I realize some of you it may bother you, but I'm going to read quite a bit from this book tonight. What have y'all done, first century Christians? I know what some of you have done. You're doing exactly the same thing you're doing right here tonight. You're smiling, saying amen, praise God, amen. Some of you sitting there, you're kind of trying to figure out which way is he going, which way is he going. I'm going tonight the same way I'm always going, up. I'm only going one way. Let me settle that. I'm only going one way. I don't go this way, that way, that way, that way. That's not who I am. I'm going this way, and I want to take everybody along with me that wants to go. Okay, I'm on one journey. I don't have any secret agenda. I don't have any secret motive. That you've got to fall in line with. We want to get out of this old world. I told the Lord today. I said, Lord, I'm so sick of this old world. There's so much sickness. There's so much darkness. There's so much pain. Lord Jesus, come quickly and get us out of this place. So Pastor Donnie, living in the first century, the book of Ephesians, and my eyes might have fell on this, chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, this is not 2017 now. This is like 60 AD or 61, something like that. And we're sitting way back there in a catacomb somewhere, or sitting in a little, dingy place, whatever more. And we hear this and we say, praise be to God. We're sitting there, we're Corinthians and we're Greeks and we're this and that and the other. And what is it? The same thing that warmed us. Some of our brothers and sisters felt the same way 2,000 years ago when this is read to them. Why? Because it's the continuation of the book of Acts. What did it do? It quickened them. You imagine this. I can't believe he's reading that. No, that's someone want to know that. Now, can you believe he got up there and read that? Now, Moses never said that. Joshua never said that. Jeremiah never said that. No, Ezekiel, I thumbed through my whole Bible. I checked it on my iPhone when I was sitting there. I couldn't find them words in the Old Testament. They weren't Old Testament words. They was New Testament under a new dispensation, under new light for a new people. Amen. What was Paul doing? He was not preaching the obscure, the leftover. You know, God was giving the Gentiles just a bone every now and then. But he said, I have been privileged to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He never got to go that way, friends, with many of the Jews. They wouldn't let him. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So here we go, true to form, verse 29 now of Acts chapter 28. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. The prophecy of Isaiah about their darkness and blindness. They departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I guarantee you. Paul was the mayonnaise, the mustard, the Tabasco. He was the sauce on the sandwich at lunch. You can guarantee you that. They had great, oh my. He declared the mission now of God, that what God had sent him to do. And they departed and they were much displeased. And they had great reasoning, my, among themselves. Notice how Luke just seamlessly goes. You understand what just happened? Prophecy was fulfilled. Another stage of this word come to pass. And Luke seamlessly goes from verse 29 into verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. So Paul was preaching, writing. Glory. It was during this time that he wrote this letter I just read to you, the Ephesian letter. Isn't it amazing that God allowed him this liberty, but not total liberty yet? So he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon while he's here in prison. Praise God. And became known and famous in the palace of Nero. Oh, you want scripture? Good. I've got it for you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out of rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Friends, you know that has to scorch the devil's eye. We're talking about Nero. And God allowed this locked up Holy Ghost preacher. Amen. To let his bonds be talked about, not just in the closet, but in all the palace. Notice in Philippians 4:22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You imagine God working it out where some predestinated seed got on the faculty or on the cleaning team or whatever more at Caesar's household, and God got a hold of them. It goes to prove, even in the time of bondage and hardship, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Oh my. He set them free. Paul is known in the palace. Not only that, but he identifies some of these Christians as Caesar's household. Do you realize during these 2 years he became acquainted with the famous Roman senator Seneca, one of the great spokesmen of Rome, and he come to see Paul. The senator of Rome coming to see the senator of heaven. A delegate from Rome coming to talk to a delegate from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. I'd much rather have been Paul than to have been Seneca. Do you realize after this meeting and introduction that they carried on their correspondence for several years? Seneca being so moved by this man, his wisdom and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost on this man's life. You imagine the devil banging his head down on hell and said, what in the world's wrong? How come they ain't killing that guy? I had them Jews to go against him. What in the world's going on? I can't figure it out.
Glory to God.
After 2 years, God set him free. You didn't know that. After 2 years, God allowed the man to be set free, as if all the charges were dropped. He went to Italy, France, Spain. Why? God was ready for him to do it. I wonder why he didn't go before, Brother Donnie. That shouldn't be a hard thing to understand. My goodness, there was a predestinated seat up in the palace. Oh, glory to God. There was a cupbearer up in the palace packing the seat of God. He had good ground, but he didn't know it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Let's close the book of Acts tonight. Acts 28:31, the one written by Luke, I mean. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now God even subjects him. Oh, the Roman Praetorian, Lysias, no man. Why? God, right in the face of hell, shuts hell up. No man. No man. Friends, you understand, when God will move back his hand and allow trouble and distress and this and that and the other to come in your life, don't think things are out of cater. Don't think things that God ain't got it under control. Look at God. Look what God's doing. Nero's cupbearer had to be born again. And Pompeia, his concubine, they were both converted by Paul. If Paul would have been free, no doubt he'd been in Spain or France or somewhere else. But God had him comfortably locked up next door to the Roman. And no man could stop him. But isn't it amazing, this same man, Nero, that allowed this to go on right under his house, just a few short years thereafter, got such a hatred for the Christians and started killing them by the thousands. Why? The will of God released in another avenue. Couldn't God have prevented it? He could have. But that seed must fall into the ground. Praise be to God. It must be crushed under the Roman heel and resurrect out from under the Roman heel in the days of Luther. Praise be to God. Could not the same God that allowed Paul to preach and people getting saved right in the palace, the cupbearer, getting born again, his concubine, of course, you know, they had to get married, get all straightened up. Glory God. Amen. I don't know what he'll do before we leave, but I believe once more he will shut the mouth of the critics. We wonder why everybody around us ain't healed.
We wonder why we got some with crippled arms or maybe one leg shorter than the other or this or that. But my friend, when our God gets ready, oh, it won't be for a public show. It'll bring the resurrection power closer to bring your face to the changing of the body. Oh, glory to God. Maybe right here one night, somebody with a cancer, somebody with a blinded eye, somebody in a wheelchair, somebody crippled, somebody with a leg shorter than the other. God will straighten it out right here before you. Will the world ever know it? Will it ever make YouTube? More than likely not. All they want on us on YouTube is the other parts. No doubt that was all done for a reason as well. So they won't be flocking when the resurrection comes among us. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of lies, right in the middle of accusations, the mighty God will sail right in among us. He'll deliver His seed. He will resurrect the dead. He will change our bodies. It'll happen right here. Maybe it'll start on one Wednesday night or one Thursday morning. Who knows what it is? And the Tri-City area will go right on with their regular life. They'll go right on working. They'll go right on to church. And they'll never even know when we're gone. Oh my! Praise be to God. But the resurrection will set in. And the devil can't find you no more. They're looking for you, but they can't find you. Because you're getting together with the rest of the group. And you come up missing on the earth. You're not just missing, but you're missing on the earth. Glory to God. You're missing, but you've just been found. Glory to God. And where are you? You're missing, but you're still on the earth getting together with the rest of the group. And the devil's looking for you. Where in the world did they go? What happened a while ago? I've seen them standing there and now they're gone. What is it? It's the time. The move is on. The move is on. Praise be to God. You tell me, my friend, I don't believe in that. It won't hinder God and it won't hinder me. I don't believe in a body change. Don't make no difference. It ain't for you then, it's for me. Well, I don't believe we need that. I don't believe it. Don't make no difference. It won't hinder God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow. I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed this series. Now, next Wednesday night, we will be starting on a new series. The only problem is, I don't know what it'll be. Don't worry, that's easy for you to say. You see, the only problem is, I just need to catch up with what he's already seen me preaching. That's the only problem. But he tends to do me this way. He tends to hold back. And it does make me quite nervous. So, if you have time this week, say a prayer for me. It's not that I'm running out of things to preach. I just want the right direction. Praise the Lord. I mean, sisters, when you go grocery shopping this week, whatever your day is to do it, you could consolidate and spend all of your time down the baby food aisle. You could spend all your time on the baby food aisle. You could load up your whole buggy. You could get vegetables. You could get meat. You could get all kinds of things. Take it all home to your family. You got your husband and your children all there. And you could say, here, this one's ham. This one's green beans. This one says carrots. This one's tapioca pudding. And here's all the, I bought you all this. And this is going to make it a lot easier on us. It'd be a lot less dishes, a lot less cleanup and everything. And eat your veggies. What? Scotty, you have a problem with that? Y'all like green beans, carrots, potatoes. But do you want it in that form? Really? You see how babies eat that stuff, don't you? Apparently they don't like it either. So it's no problem finding you something to eat. But I want to find what God needs for, knows that we need. Amen. Praise God. My.
God bless you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a way to end the book of Acts. The ending of Luke is so peculiar. Theologians have debated it and discussed it for years and years, trying to understand why Luke ended it the way he did. Not with an amen. He didn't cap it off at the end of Paul's life, and yet we know Paul was very special to Luke. History says actually Luke got converted under Paul's ministry. Luke didn't finish it off as Peter. He didn't finish it off as any man, actually. But he finished it off with the gospel was not hindered. What a way to close that phase of the book of Acts. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I believe the same power of God is doing the same thing around the world. As a matter of fact, this week, Lord, as I was over with Brother Tim Humes and the convention there, and brothers from India and Haiti and all over Africa and different parts of the world, and I hear what you're doing, Lord, it's so wonderful. Lord, it goes to show that the book of Acts is still a book of Acts. I believe Luke named it even correctly. He didn't call it a book of words, a book of doctrines, a book of theology, but the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we know it wasn't the Acts of the Apostles alone. It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. Lord Jesus, may that same thing be said about us. That it's not the words of Happy Valley, the words of Donnie Reagan, the words of Darrell Ward, or the words of some of these brothers and sisters, but it's the acts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. How we long for that great day, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, pray, Lord. Bring us back this weekend, Father. We look forward to sitting again at your table, assuming again your word, Lord. Thank you so much for providing for us. Lord, I just pray that you would fill our hearts with your goodness and mercy. Lord Jesus, if there's any sick tonight, I pray you'd heal them. Any discouraged, would you lift them up? Oh, Lamb of God, minister to us, I pray tonight, Lord God. We love you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands? Just worship him a little bit. I know you kids have got school and you got to work tomorrow and all that, but I think we can spare just a few more minutes before we go. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is still in action today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're still among us in your mighty power. Oh, glory to God. We need you like never before, Lord Jesus. May you fill every fiber of our being, Lord, with your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I trust if Paul would have been here in the service tonight, he could have said amen over and over again. If Peter was here, if Luther was here, if Brother Branham were here, Lord, that he could say amen. I believe we are children of the Word. They weren't here, but we are. So we said, amen. Because we believe it to be the truth. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God. I bless your holy name, Father. I thank you, Lord, for you are worthy. Oh, Lord, not too many more settings of the sun, that the consummation of this work will be finished. The kingdom to the Gentiles will be finished, Lord God.
The last one will come in. They'll reach their spot. And the rapture will go. The rapture will go when she recognizes who she is. Pull back the veil from our hearts, oh God, that we can see who we are. Lord Jesus, by revelation, Paul saw who he was. And he could bring this message to the Gentiles. The Gentiles saw who they were, and they could receive it. The prophet of our generation saw who he was, and he could bring a message to the world. Now we're seeing who we are, and we receive it as ones that it's sent to. It's not sent to everybody. Lord, we feel sorry for them, but we must go on ourselves. We will not stop. We will not turn back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is not written in our DNA to turn and look back. For we are not Lot's wife, we are Christ's wife. Amen. Turning back is not in us at all. There'll be no turning back. We will press when we don't even feel like it. We will pray when we don't feel like it. We will worship when we don't feel like it, because we are priests of the Most High God. Amen. We'll come to the house of God when we don't feel good. We'll pray when we don't feel good. We'll read the word even sometimes and we think, my, I didn't get nothing out of it. We do it because we're children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Will there be no turning back? Be no turning back. Pick it up. No turning back, be no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, be no turning back. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, there be no turning back. 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 I have decided follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow, yes, Jesus. I have decided, glory, to follow my Lord.
No turning, be no turning back.
Be no turning,
be no turning back.
Be no turning.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me.
No turning,
be no turning back.
Be no turning,
be no turning back.
Be no turning.
Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, come on, sex us worshiping.
No turning. Be no turning.
Be no turning.
Be no turning
back.
Waller. Be no turning back. I am his bride. I have decided I am predestinated to. I have decided I am elected. I am foreknown.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them, God bless you. Glad to be together with you in the house of God. God bless you, saints. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. Go in the fear of God. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back.
Follow my Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. 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 No turning, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back.